Blog Talk Radio.
Sports. It's what inspires all school children to believe that they are the best in the world.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Through all the ups and all the downs.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
And now, what you've all been waiting for all week, it's Saturday Night Sports with me, your host, the captain, along with Brother X, Seth, and the one and only Coach Viper!
Holy shit, it's Viper!
Now sit back and enjoy the one thing that really matters to Americans, and that is sports!
Can anyone hear anyone?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Where's the captain?
He?
Captain, are you here? It's like he's got some trouble.
I would say so.
Well, it looks like it's the Viper and Seth flying solo until the captain can figure it out. Welcome to the show, everyone. As I stated before, this is the Viper. Happy Saturday. The captain is having some technical issues. We're going to go ahead and move forward without him.
What about the NCAA tournament, Viper?
Well, the NCAA tournament is, I'm sure most people out there listening don't have much of a bracket left. Obviously, some shockers in the last couple nights. I remember the days when I filled this thing out and it was somewhat predictable. And now, even if you did your homework, I don't think anyone's bracket would still be good.
No, I think no one had FDU. Let's just put that as starters for a caveat.
Well, if anyone out there had FDU and Princeton, okay, you're going to replace me on the show next week because you are clearly the prognosticator of prognosticators. Who could have predicted that?
And the ironic story, did you hear how FDU even got into the tournament?
Wasn't it a play-in game?
They ended up not winning their conference, you know, in a mid-American major conference, but which automatically got a bid. But the thing is the team that actually won it had just transferred from Division II to Division I NCAA, so they weren't eligible for this tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I had heard that.
So wow. They weren't even supposed to be there.
Wow. Yeah, totally forgot about that. That might have been why I picked against them, or it was the fact they were 16 and they're playing the Big Ten champions. That could be the other reason.
No, and the ironic thing in the greater Detroit metro area, and I'm sure there's no love for Purdue basketball, but they were being really honest on the local sports talk radio shows about how this team just historically, as a franchise, just choked. And it wouldn't surprise them if they went out in, like, the second round. Let alone, so this is hilarious.
Well, I actually had them going out in the second round. Full disclosure, I did not pick them losing the first, but I was not a believer in Purdue And I'm a Big Ten guy, but I was not a believer in them. And I think it boils down to exactly why I feel they lost. They lost because their team runs through a big man. And the tournament's all about guard play. It's all about guard play. And if you can have the biggest guy on the floor, but if you don't have good guard play, you don't advance. And the other problem that I was not aware of is Purdue doesn't know how to play a zone defense. All they ever do is man-to-man. And that cost them. The lack of the you have to be adaptable in the tournament because you're facing every team is successful. You're facing teams of all these different styles. And if you don't have the ability to adapt to who's playing in front of you that night, you're going to get burned by the wrong style. It's a matchup problem for you, and clearly
especially
SDU is a matchup
problem. Basketball, I mean, obviously you can go man-to-man on everything. You could go full zone on everything, but there's usually, like, combinations of you know, at least a cross-mix, and Purdue couldn't do
right.
that.
Right. Yep.
And you can tell, really, like, even when people try to play zone defense and they've never really practiced it, it shows right away, and this is not the stage that you want to do your first game playing zone.
No. No, you got to have that in the toolbox. I don't understand why a team at that level, and Matt Painter, a coach of that level, doesn't at least have a zone defense, if a simple 2-3 zone. You don't need anything
yeah.
fancy. You don't need a matchup zone. Just a simple 2-3 just to get a different look now and then. I don't understand why Matt Painter doesn't have that in his toolbox.
No, but and then, you know, I've spent some time myself and have a passion for Arizona. And AZ basketball, once again, early out, upset, disappointment, and everyone's hurt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have struggled over the years to really go deep, despite having some very talented teams with a great body of work resume during the regular season. But, man, they just can't get over that hump in the postseason for some reason. I mean, even go back to the days of Lute Olson. I mean,
I was just going to say.
Got to go back that far. you know, it's just crazy, but – you know, it's I think it's a combination of the, you know, the committee makes some odd picks now and then. You know,
hey,
they talk about the first four in,
now?
First four out.
Oh, yes, we can hear you.
We do have life from the captain.
Okay, hold on a second. I got to get my – I don't know what's going on. I was able to hear you guys, and I typed in talk. You know, just keep going. I don't know what's going on with the headset, with the mic or whatever, but I heard you guys perfect. So anyway, I decided just to call in and do it this way. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about I'm glad you started going with March Madness because I wanted to talk about that as well. And, you know, March Madness, and that's why they call it madness, you know. And good for Purdue. I hate Purdue. Screw them. I'm glad they lost. I hate them. I just can't. I just one
I
of
think,
those teams for whatever reason. I hate them. So.
Hey, didn't Purdue design
but
that headset that wasn't working
so?
Very well?
What?
Did Purdue design that headset you're having a problem with? Maybe.
I guess. But no, you had said that you had predicted that, and I'm just curious because I don't follow it, so I don't really know. But I mean. What led you off to, because I know you were kind of critical, what led you off to them being, but did you think that they were actually going to lose this one to a 16 seed?
No. Full disclosure, I did not have them going past the second round. Yeah.
Right.
I didn't have them going past the second round. I did not have them losing to the 16 seed, but I knew they were not going to be a very deep team in the tournament, just from a history stake. And by the way, I read their last 3 years, get this, the last 3 years in a tournament, They've lost to the 13, the 15, and now the 16. The last 3 years in the NCAA tournament.
Good.
That they played.
Yeah. That they maybe they should not do so well and become the 7 seed. I don't know.
Well, look at the Spartans. Well, they won their first round.
Yep.
Well, how do they get to the number one seed? Is it the colleges that they play that allow them that high? Are they fraudulent one seed or?
No, they're the Big Ten champions, and they did earn that. I mean, the conference was very, very competitive. But for me, it was just the style of play. I watched them a couple times this year, and they present problems for certain types of teams. I didn't think they would be able to handle the speed of Memphis in the second round. But it turns out the speed of Farley Dickinson was enough.
Well, I wanted to get the games. I'm trying to stay away from my computer so we don't get a feedback from my phone. And I need to have my headset on. Otherwise, it comes through the speakers, and then we got all kinds of problems. So,
And in that game, when the guy had what 2 point something seconds, and he throws it to half court, didn't they also still have one timeout at that point?
They did.
I mean, you call the timeout. Like, if you have a timeout, that's the time to use the timeout.
Right. And I know that there are some coaches, like years ago, Gonzaga and the Baylor game, and those, you know, that year, the Baylor one. You know, the coach at Gonzaga was saying, sometimes you want to call the timeouts, but sometimes you've got the players where you feel like leaving them in that moment and letting them do what they do might be the best choice. And clearly it wasn't the best choice here, but I'm not disappointed or surprised by the early exit. I am surprised it was Farley Dickinson that did it.
Well, it looks like there's only one game going on now. Let me go to CBS Sports. ESPN doesn't have it. NCAA basketball. Now, did Gonzaga? I'm trying to. Let me see if I can find the. Let me see the tournament, the bracket, the live bracket. That's what
Gonzaga
I like.
Gonzaga moved on.
Good. They're just my home team. They're from Washington, and plus, I always rooted for them because I just like the name Gonzaga for whatever reason. What a weird name.
Yeah, and a big one with Duke going down. I mean, you know, you lose to the 4-seed Tennessee, but yeah, you got smoked.
I did not predict that one, but
well, TCU plays Gonzaga tomorrow. There's games going on now. Kansas and Arkansas are playing. They're in the first, 33-27. Tennessee over Duke, 65-52. Ivy League's getting their butts whipped in this tournament. Good. Good for them. I love it. San Diego State is creaming Furman.
Which isn't a surprise.
Boy, that Furman win was a shocker.
Oh yeah, but now San Diego State bring them to reality, and I think that's part of the thing sometimes that people don't realize is when you give it your all 110% and all that extra emotion and all the extra physical exertion, that you're pretty much spent by that next game, and you're playing against a very capable team that's very – they have a depth and they can run. You're in trouble.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
Is this one of those years where a team that is not in the 1, 2, or 3 or maybe even the 4 seed that takes it all, is it going to be one of those years?
Could be. I honestly had Alabama going to the finals and winning.
Let's see, what is Alabama? They're number one. Houston's number one. There's a lot of number ones, a lot of number twos. So it looks like, you know, it's coming down. There's going to be some pretty good games. The Baylor's number three, Xavier.
I think by the time we get to the Sweet 16, I think it's going to level out. I think you're still going to have some people that shouldn't have been there, and then you're just going to have your favorites that are still going to be there. It's probably going to be about 50% each way. And then by the final four, I think you're going to narrow it down to maybe one team that shouldn't be there.
Well, I want to see this Northwestern. They play tonight after the show, Northwestern against UCLA, and I hope UCLA gets murderated. I'm talking spanking, just a butt whooping. So, and Marquette, they're number two. They play Michigan State. That's your hometown there, Seth.
That's my alma mater.
So that you went to Viper, you were at your alma mater, Michigan State?
Yeah, I bleed green, buddy.
Good. I did not know that. So that, well, you guys grew up together. I forgot. That's right. So, well, I think I told you I almost moved to Detroit. I still love Michigan. And I still love that Detroit area, and I've always had a soft spot for the Tigers. Who doesn't? I mean, come on.
Oh, I know. Like a side note, Gate, I think I might go to the Toledo Mud Hens, which is A-ball for the minors, which is part of the Tigers organization, on opening day, March 31st, Friday.
Oh, man. Nice. That is going to be – you got to do something, tape something, or – well, it's too bad we couldn't do a live – well, I suppose we could do a live thing. But anyway, no, I mean, see, I love that. And the Mud Hens, that is one of the oldest – isn't it one of the oldest minor league teams?
I believe so. That's still active, I should say.
Right. One that's started and just never ended.
Yeah, because I mean, even as a baseball fan myself, as a little kid in the 70s, all I could remember was Toledo being the A club. So it has to be before then.
Well, I thought the Mud Hens were AAA, but you say single A, okay, whatever.
Well, they were back then. They're AAA now, though.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, A's the best baseball, right? AAA's the just getting in, double A, and then A.
Yeah, the Mud Hens are the stop right before the
right.
The pro
so that's not A, that's AAA?
Yeah, that's AAA.
Okay.
Oh, I see. You were going. You had it reversed. No, A, double A, triple A. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, it's the highest. It's like a lot of Tigers go there when they're just getting out of rehab for physical therapy, and then they're down there for a couple days, and then they go back to Detroit. It's only an hour away.
Well, growing up in Vancouver, Washington, we had the Portland Beavers, which was a farm team at one time for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and another time I think they were for the Indians, and then they kind of bounced around. But anyway, it was great because you would go there, and when I went into broadcasting school, I went and I made a couple of commercials I made for the Portland Beavers, and I went and I sold it to the AM station, and it was kind of cool. And
nice.
But anyway, you would go there and you would you'd watch a doubleheader, and then Jimmy Buffett would come and play, and it was great. You were there all day long at the ballpark, And then, you know, it went on until, God, I don't remember what time it was. But their doubleheader, they only played, I think, 7 innings in the second game.
Yeah, I remember stuff like that. That is awesome.
Yeah, and then Jimmy Buffett comes on. He plays right there at second base. You know, it was beautiful. And, look, minor league baseball is great baseball and is cheap. I still haven't made it to the Ducks yet, the Long Island Ducks.
Yeah, but, no, and I haven't decided which seat I want to get, but on opening day, Friday, the tickets only range from $17 to $50.
Yeah, right behind
home
plate.
Which I think is not horrible for an opening day.
No, absolutely not. No, I'd get right behind home plate if you can do it. Or close
oh,
to
yeah,
it.
That's, you know, right, yeah. So, I mean, for $50, that's what a great seat.
I mean, hey, look, I remember going into the Dodger Stadium in the Navy, and they were $7.50. We'd give the scalper $10, and we'd get tickets, and we were right there on field level, man, just right above the dugout. You know, not that far from the dugout, not right there, but, I mean, we were still field level. It was up, but we were still field level. It was $10. Scalp.
What did the scalper do? Sell them in a bag of peanuts?
No, they just buy tickets and they're standing out there. Instead of you waiting in line, you just go to the guy to get the quick tickets and they're good seats. And for $10, you know, this was in the 80s, you know, and it was great. $10 and you go to Dodger Stadium. We went to Angel Stadium, saw Sparky Anderson. Oh, God, they played the Tigers. And, of course, Sparky, when he yells at one umpire, and it's never just one. He's got to hit every single one of them. And, of course, he did. And the Angel Stadium, they had these dogs up there on the lights. And, you know, like a cartoon kind of a dog, and it was barking, and you could hear these ruff, ruff, ruff the whole time that he was doing it, and the whole crowd was cheering. It was great. And Sparky went on for, you know how he goes. He went on for like 10 minutes, man. 20 minutes. It was great. But
oh, I couldn't even believe it. The year that he became the manager for the Detroit Tigers, I was like,
yeah.
If there's a guy that could maybe bring this organization out of the depths of chaos and despair, and
he did,
they had some bad teams. They had some really bad teams, and 84 was a magical year. I mean, you're talking, they started off 35-5.
Yep, it was when 84, it was my first year in college when they won it. Then after that, I went into the Navy. But, yeah, he was still coaching the Tigers. And, of course, my very first baseball game is when he was coaching the Cincinnati Reds in Dodger Stadium. So Pete Rose started a fight on second base, cleared the benches. Johnny Bench had a home run in left center field. The Reds won. I can't remember who was pitching. Either Tom Seaver or Tom Sneva. And when I was a kid, I always fucked those screwed up. Remember I was telling you about if we accidentally say something, we're all right. Okay, we're going to be all right. But I always screwed those names up. I could never get Seaver and Sneva. You remember Sneva. Well, I could never get those two straight. And I always screwed them up. And I was a little kid, so, you know, me already. But I can't
remember. Oh, no, but I mean, if you talked about everything you could ever imagine as a kid, like when your parents are like, okay,
yep,
hey, don't get your hopes up. You know, hopefully that happens. If it doesn't, don't get disappointed. And it's like, no, everything you could think of and more. And it's like mind blown.
Look, my first game, Sparky Anderson got kicked out of the game for and again, he argued with every umpire. And, of course, the Dodger fans, they were, you know, harping on him. But, I mean, it was – I see a home run, a bench-clearing brawl. The manager gets kicked out of the game. Your team wins. You cannot ask for a better first game. You can't ask for a better game, period. You know what I mean? So,
oh, no, and I mean, like, you could think of a lot of different managers that you'd even want to see, like, play against. Like, I can't even imagine, and I know I've seen at least one of them, but, you know, Sparky Anderson against Billy Martin, or throwing a Tommy Lasorda, you know, just all these different possibilities with managers that were just unbelievably their own people. Like,
well,
indescribable.
You know, I feel sorry for Viper. We're going to talk about something else here. But, you know, it is really sad that those days are gone. But at least that we have those memories, that we remember when. We remember when it was. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not going to – what do you remember now? What? Now they made the bases bigger, which doesn't make any sense because – you're getting there quicker, but so is the ball. So you're, why do you have to have the bases bigger? That makes absolutely zero sense. The NFL is also coming up with some stupid rules. I'm tired of these gimmick rules. Just play the game. And if you want to walk the guy? Well, then you walk the guy. If you can't throw four pitches to your catcher 5 feet off the plate, then you're an idiot. You deserve to have that guy on third base run into home and score and win the game. You deserve to lose it. You're taking the elements out of the game, and that pisses me off. You know? God almighty, I'm sorry. I hate to get on my soapbox, but, you know, stop taking the elements out of the game. Just play. Seth, we're a dying breed.
I know.
We're down with dinosaurs. We might as well just make oil out of it because we're nothing but dinosaurs. Oh,
maybe they'll
God.
Turn me into a diamond.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Viper. We got on baseball. Viper's not. But anyway, how's your team doing? What are you guys in a tournament yet, or what's going on? Do we lose Viper?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Maybe he took a break.
Let's see if he's still connected here. Now my screen shows I got no callers.
Well, I'm on.
Now it says time until episode 3 hours and 21 minutes. Okay, here's my screen. I got two numbers for Viper.
Yeah, I just put in our overall text, you know. Viper.
Okay, let's see if we can hear Viper now. Looks like he called back. Viper, can you hear us now?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, good. Okay. Well, anyway, I apologize because we were talking about baseball, and I said, I apologize, Viper.
Oh,
you know,
no,
we're going to talk about something else.
Yeah, we need to talk about
anyway,
the tournament.
I want to find out about your team. Are you guys in a tournament? How are they doing?
No, it's slowing down. We're kind of in a slow season. Nothing cranks up till a couple months. But, no, we got a lot of tournament stuff to cover. We got a lot of free agency stuff to cover for football.
Let me get my tracker up here. Things are moving and grooving, and still, nobody's biting for Lamar Jackson, so it looks like Baltimore's going to have to be stuck with him. Good.
If we're just talking about the NFL, at least for right now, can somebody explain this to me? Because I hear and look and read a lot of different variants of opinions throughout the sports world, and I saw and heard somebody the other day that said that no doubt the Chicago Bears are going to be something next year. Can anyone explain how?
Well, they've got the linebacker from Buffalo. I got a 4-year deal there. Let's see who else they got. They got another linebacker from the Eagles, TJ Edwards. They got a draft pick, and it looks like they're going to go probably with a quarterback. They got an offensive guard, Nate Davis, from Tennessee.
They got DJ Moore and the wide receiver.
Yep.
From Carolina, right?
Yep.
And, well, you know, I wouldn't say they're going to be something, but, hey, it looks like, though, Chicago is trying to be competitive. And that's all you can ask for out of a team is just try. You know, put forth the effort. When you got teams that just don't put forth any effort, it's like, you know, why are you even in the league? But Carolina's trying to huff and puff, but they're not going to do nothing.
No, and I understand with Nagy or however you say his name, and he was part of the problem. They got a new general manager. They're going to build a new stadium. But I did like it that they did let Justin Fields take his gloves off and really go out there and just play his game. And just they would figure it out from there with whatever type of wins, it's okay. But we're going to, like, completely now do our rebuild. And did that rebuild really start when they let Khalil Mack go, knowing that historically any Chicago Bear team that's ever went far until playoffs always had a great linebacker? And at that point with Khalil Mack, he was going to cost them too much money for them not having the result of a Super Bowl.
I mean, it was an unfortunate decision that you had to make, but, you know, he'd be all right. He's all right. He's going to be all right. But anyway, we've got Zeke Elliott that doesn't have a home yet. He was completely ineffective last year. And if you are going to go with him or a Henry, you know, you got to use them sparingly. And do you really want to spend a lot of time and a lot of effort on a guy that, you know, you're going to use sparingly? Well, you might need a guy like that on your team. And there could be,
people forget, like with the Steelers at the end, Jerome Bettis was a third down back.
Well, he was also, you know, a huge. And he gets the one, two yards.
He'll be fine.
Well,
he'll
no,
get you
Henry,
a three.
He's not only wide, but he is tall. How tall is Derrick Henry? He's got to be 6'8".
6'3".
I would say probably 6'4".
Well, he's a Sasquatch.
At least 6'2", I think.
Yeah, he's well over 6 feet, but you know, if you can keep him healthy and if he's got the right – see, I've noticed he's kind of like Elliott Smith in that, you know, if he runs into a lot of people, nothing's going to happen. But if you give him a hole –
Yeah, he is listed as 6'3".
Once he gets the full – I know, but once he full feet, you cannot – it's very difficult to take the guy down. Emmett Smith, when he got into full speed mode, he's a tree trunk. You can't tackle that. And they had the Cowboys had an awesome offensive line. And you know, you got an offensive line, and this guy can do some damage for you. You know, he'll get you that first down.
Have to encounter a running back like that, it is scary when they got the momentum built and the offensive line is giving them a hole where they're automatically going to get +3, +4. Uh-oh.
Yep.
you don't want to go against that guy. You want no part of that. You're going for his feet.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes, if the guy's a split wide and he's going up the middle of the hole, I mean, you could get yourself a good 10, 12, maybe even 15 yards. And, yeah, when Henry was on, that was really the team. I mean, you know, but.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great.
Okay, because people listening apparently only hear you two.
Well, that...
Huh.
All right, hold on. Let me check the... No, you're connected. I got you connected, Viper. Let me take you off and bring you back on. Okay, Viper.
I'm still here.
Can you hear us now? All right.
Yep.
I don't know what the hell's going on here tonight. And I think it's because I didn't get a kiss from my cat. She's been – I always get a kiss from my cat before I go on the show. And if I don't get one, something always happens. Well, she's doing cat things, and I couldn't get her in time. And that's what it is. It's the cat jinx. Yeah. Well, we're still going to keep going. I really don't care. And it might pick it up on archive, Viper.
True.
So, because it's on my phone, so it should pick it up. But anyway, where were we on here? Yeah, the Eagles have lost some. The Chiefs have actually lost some key players, but I think the Chiefs have a, and I was thinking about this today, and I want to get your guys' opinion on this. The Chiefs have a, not like Belichick culture, but a culture nevertheless that works, and next man up works. Because, look, they got rid of Hill, and they won the Super Bowl. They're, you get rid of your wide receiver, blah, blah, blah. They, next man up. Well, I don't think this team, the way it's orchestrated, the way it's constructed, the way it is managed, I don't think it's going to really hurt, you know, how much they lose, because they're only getting things back. So I don't think that's going to hurt them. I mean, the Chiefs are still going to be. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, they lost another wide receiver. I think they lost somebody else. I can't remember. But
they lost Juju. Oh, yeah, they lost Juju.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster. That's right. He's
to New England. New England.
That's right, New England. That's right, New England.
And then Orlando Brown Jr. to the Bengals, well, starting left tackle.
There is a correlation that immediately I can think off at the top of my head that I truly believe the Chiefs at a certain point of greatness. And it was just like the Patriots team. You got a great coach, you got a great quarterback, and you got a great, unbelievably, probably number one tight end in the NFL. Uh-oh. You can beat anyone.
Well, they not only have a good head coach, but they got other coaches as well, too. And everybody, you know, is clicking. They're all on the same page. And, you know, and that's why they're winning.
And,
you know
you got to see Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Belichick, Brady, and Gronk. Same thing. You can't stop a team that does that. They're going to get to the big games every year.
Well, I'm not sure you guys heard this. The other big loss for the Chiefs, we'll see what happens. Eric Bieniemy, the longtime offensive coordinator, is going to the Commanders.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now that's
a pretty big move.
That is a big move because you bring a new guy in, of course, he's gonna be different. He's not gonna be exactly the same, and well, we'll find out if this team can adjust or not.
Yeah, but I mean, Viper, you could answer this question. Don't certain coaches always, after a certain amount of years into any type of sport, have a style, right? So all of a sudden, you run a certain type of style on the offense. You know what your offensive coordinator was like, you're going to look for that type of style coach, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah, and I think that, you know, they're going to try and bring that same style to KC, to Washington, to try and build up that offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they're hiring him. He's a style type of coach.
And I think you need to get a change of scenery.
You guys were talking about the guy that went over to the Bengals. Well, I can't find the story now. Well, one of the offensive linemen is now demanding a trade because they brought him over. Now, I don't know if those two, they hate each other, or maybe the guy they got rid of, I don't know, but let me see if I can find this now. But, you know, it drives me nuts where you have everybody now can demand that you have to, you know, Rodgers was doing the same thing, demanding who gets, you know, picked on the team. I mean, years ago, that you did not know. And, you know, you have to keep that separation, because if the coach is going to be the coach, he can't have all these different veins coming in and spewing their blah, 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 blah. You see what I'm saying? And then you have, you know, it's not organized. And Viper, I'm sure you can understand what I'm talking about. I mean, you can't have all these coming in from all these different directions. It's like, then who's really coaching the team?
I mean, there's to an extent you want to keep the key players of your organization happy, but
you can't let the
inmates run the asylum either. I mean, it's got to be some middle ground there, a balance. So I think the funny thing is going to be what the Jets are doing. And we talked about last week. Rodgers is not final. Rodgers
is
not a final deal yet.
Yeah, Jonah Williams is the one who requested the trade after the Orlando Brown Jr. signing. That to me just, you know, whatever. But no,
he wants to get
Rodgers, I mean, it's stupid little stuff. He's already said he's already committed to going to play, but is he just trying to screw with people? And just want to make everybody wait for him? I mean,
I'm not sure what's going on.
I don't think anybody knows what's going on. Well, that's really putting, you know, then if he decides at the last second he wants to retire, well, that's really screwing up the Jets. And it's probably screwing up the Packers, too, because there's a trade involved. And Zach Wilson now is running off at his mouth saying that he's going to go out there and go to be the starter. He's going to, you know.
Looking at the Jets, they really have a good team. You have a great foundation. Where was your week?
Yep.
It was the quarterback position. And Mike White almost corrected that, almost. But you know he's probably not the guy either, but definitely he gave you a better chance than Zach Wilson. And Zach Wilson is not a leader at all. Zach Wilson
Mike White's not an option anymore. He's in Miami.
I didn't know that.
Mike White was Miami now.
Oh, yeah. Wow. If you can't beat them, join them. And what a great backup to Tua, which they're taking a chance on for another year or so. Or did they sign to a multi-year?
No,
they're linked to Tua. They finalized his fifth year of his contract. So I think it's through next year. But you know Tua's going to get injured like he does every single year. And you know you got a guy like Mike White, who has proved that when he comes in off the bench, he wins football games.
Mm-hmm.
So why not go to a team that has an opportunity?
Well,
you know,
especially
I mean,
with as injury-prone as Tua is, yeah. Well, and the dollars up.
Made the, and the Dolphins
in the
made
Jets.
The playoffs.
Yeah.
He's not going to get to play at the Jets. I mean, you know, Rodgers, he's not going to go come out. So, yeah, this is a good opportunity for him. And in Lynn, he can showcase himself, and maybe, you know, some team might want to pick him up as a full-time starter. Who knows? But
that's what his plan is. I guarantee it. He does not want to be sitting on the bench in New York Jet land behind Aaron Rodgers coming in. I mean, he doesn't want to do that. Look where it got Jordan.
You'll never get to play.
No, never.
And if you get to play, it is garbage ball, and that means there's also garbage people on the offense.
Fifth string wide receivers. And Brady, I mean, they're up 40-0, and Brady's still out there in the fourth quarter. And the last second, he's still playing every –
Yeah,
I
but
like
that's
that,
also because,
you know,
Belichick is kind of a DB when it comes to how many points he will beat you by at certain points. He's
right.
Like, I only got a 28-point lead going with 10 minutes. I need more. I got to make sure we put this game away.
Wait,
well, hey,
Belichick
look, I mean,
was a defensive
kind of...
back?
But that's how you play it, you know. And if you don't like them,
is this the movie Clueless?
The score, then stop them.
Who knows?
But trying to get up. I don't know. If I get close here, you guys don't hear an echo, do you? If I'm close, you guys, all right? Okay. Yeah, I want to read here what.
No, but let's just be honest. Let's say Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets. Look at how powerful the AFC East was last year. I mean, this year, do you say all four teams go to the playoffs? Because three of the four and almost all four went last year.
Well, it's going to make everybody have to bring their A game every single Sunday. You're not going to have any room for error. It just made that division so competitive. And, yeah, are there going to be, what Survivor was talking about last week, expectations? Yeah, are there going to be expectations they go to the Super Bowl? I'm sure there are going to be a lot of it. Now, can they actually physically do it? See, that's, you know, but I mean, hey, look, the Jets, they brought over a guy from, who was it they brought over from Green Bay? He's a receiver.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, receiver.
Lazard. Lazard.
Alan
Lazard and,
Lazard,
and Nathaniel Hackett, the fired Broncos coach who was the offensive coordinator in Green Bay. So they got Aaron Rodgers, one of his favorite receivers. They got one of Aaron Rodgers' favorite coaches. They're eliminating all excuses for him not to go to New York.
Well,
absolutely.
If they get you everything that you need for you to be successful still in the NFL today, that's your best chance for success. No matter AFC or NFC. And you're going to the AFC, which it's a lot more brutal. It's a lot more brutal. You got a bigger spread pan of good teams. Like, you got 10, 12 good teams in the AFC. You got 5, 6 in the NFC. And I know 7 go to the playoffs.
Yeah, that AFC is going to be, well, it might be kind of advantageous because he was in the NFC for so long, and now coming to the AFC, yeah, he's seen a few teams, but not all of them. And they're not all that familiar, so it could be, you know, there could be that factor.
Well, but, like, okay, so, like, now you take a seasoned veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, and he knows his best plays. He knows his best throws. He knows his best situations. then you have an offensive coordinator that's on board, a quarterback coach, whatever. Just run whatever works best for him. All the time, 100%. He's in control.
Well, we could be looking at another, Brady coming over to the Bucs.
And look at how close the Jets were to getting to where they needed to go. They were that good. And they blew it in the last couple of weeks, but, I mean, that's football.
Yeah, the Jets are still the Jets, so, you know, but I mean, it should, but everything in the NFL that should happen never does. So that's why I don't want to get, you know, my hopes too much. Do I want to see Rodgers win it with the Jets? Why not? I think it would be a great story. But if I keep thinking about it too much, then it won't happen. Like everybody wanted, we wanted Brady to go to the Raiders.
I think if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets, you're going to see the biggest type of hype for that New York market, and you're going to see some type of a spinoff song or something. And we haven't seen anything like this since the last time. Vinny and the Jets.
Now, here's one thing that is going to be – see, we saw that with Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson was not used to the media. The New York media is much different. Aaron Rodgers is not going to have a good time with the New York media. He's not used to – New York media is completely different, and that could really screw things up if he doesn't handle it right.
Well, I think he's always had a way with reporters – that even when he came out of Cal U, he basically doesn't care what anybody thinks, and he wants to prove people wrong. And that's just his mentality. He just wants to prove you wrong. And, boy, if he took a team with actually a really good defense and you've got some weapons on offense, I think he can do it. I really think he can do it.
Well,
I think he can win the whole thing.
The New York, especially the papers and the sports.
Oh, media, yeah. Oh, I know. I know.
Just garbage and junk. And, you know, a lot of athletes can shrug it off and ignore it, and others can't. And the ones that pay attention to it always get destroyed. So if Rodgers, hopefully, he ignores it, because you know he's going to have it. He makes one little mistake, the New York media is going to eat him up.
I think half of my family comes from New York, me living out there a couple of years. I can honestly say with that sports market, if you do well, you are treated like the greatest champion ever. It is unbelievable. Forget about your card. Your money's no good anywhere. You will be celebrated like you can't believe, but I can tell you the second that they think that you're overpaid and you're not performing, moment one, why'd you go 0-for-4 today? Once you let that affect you as a player, you're done. You're done. You got to go somewhere else if you're going to be productive.
He came over to the Yankees, and in 2 years, he was double digits every year in wins. But to New York, they were expecting 20 wins every single. You know, he won like 11 and then like 14 or something. But he was 180 years old, and you're right, Seth. I mean, New York it doesn't matter. If their own mother screws up a game, Mom, you're done. Sorry, I love you, but hey, you're out.
They will turn on you quicker than you can believe. If they were going to roll you over with a bus, they would back up, just roll you over again.
the reporters, I hate them. Because they make up stupid crap about absolutely nothing. And, Mike and the Mad Dog used to do that too, and it used to irritate me. It's like, okay, you don't like the pitcher. It was Corey Lytle. He was the guy who ran his plane into the building in New York City. And everyone, it was after 9/11. Everyone thought, oh, my God, terrorist again. No, his plane got screwed up and he crashed into a building. But he came on, and they were just so critical of this kid. It was a young kid, a pitcher, and he had one bad game. And it's like, God almighty, you leave the kid alone. I think the kid was only like 20 years old, something like that. You have one bad game in New York, and now you're – it's like, Jesus. It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's not
no,
easy
you,
playing
you,
in New
no,
York.
No one has ever seen anything like it. You have no idea. And it doesn't matter.
Well,
and they have all the major sports. They have multiple teams and on both sides of the East and the West Coast and NHL.
Oh, yeah, even the hockey. I mean, they're brutal.
NBA.
With hockey.
Yeah, I mean, they got multiple teams. And some of the teams that still exist today in the league, especially in the West Coast and California, originated in New York.
Yeah, well, the only thing if there is going to be any concern, then it would be the media getting to him and it screws him up. You know, head-wise. But,
he's mentally tougher than that, though. That guy is a...
Right, I do, too. I believe that, too. But we've seen the New York... we've seen him just...
No, but he's such
up.
A weirdo that he could actually use that as positive energy. And if he goes there just for this year alone and wins the Jets a Super Bowl... You thought Namath still has street cred in New York? Aaron Rodgers is going to be the man till the day he dies.
But if he screws up in New York, look, it's either you're going to either sink to the bottom or you're going to swim to the surface.
Let's say he plays 2 years, at least for the Jets. First year, he just gets into the AFC. And then he gets into an AFC championship game. He's going to be against Mahomes or Burrows, something like that. Competitive, they lose. He plays one more year. Now they got it. They got some chemistry, rhythm. But what do you think?
I think he's got to do it this year. This
I do
year
too.
Or bust. And the same with the Bills, yep. It's this year or bust. You know, and even the Bengals to a certain degree this year are bust, you know? So.
You still can't discount Kansas City. Is
no,
Piper still here?
Kansas City's just going to be there. They're automatic. They're just going to be there. Let me see. Did we lose Piper again?
No, I'm here.
Piper, you still with us?
I am.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I just didn't hear you. Now my screen is doing all kinds of stuff. I don't know what the hell's going on. But... Now, it is going to be an interesting season, though, this year. I mean, a lot of new faces on a lot of new teams. Now, the Raiders bringing Jimmy G. Okay, look, Jimmy G is going to keep you competitive. Okay, you're not going to – it's not a minus. He's going to keep you, you know, in the game. So if the Raiders are serious, I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe a draft pick next year or whatever. But, you know, Garoppolo, you know, is going to get hurt. That seems to be an automatic. So – But if he is healthy, I mean, I think the Raiders they've got some weapons too, but they could actually start doing a little bit of damage. It's just they need – there's something missing in that locker room that – an X factor, if you will, of whatever.
Sometimes, though, and let's just go with the last name ending in G. Sometimes in the Raiders – organization throughout history, they didn't get high draft pick quarterbacks or this or that. Well, at least that they didn't draft. But you know what? Somebody was almost going to be out of the league. Somebody was normally a backup. You go to the Raiders, and all of a sudden, the last 3-5 years of your career, you are the best thing since sliced bread. Rich Gannon. Now we got Garoppolo. You know, that's what I'm hoping for, because if that we bank on that, and you got Josh Jacobs, you got Waller, you got all these other guys, Davante Adams, this, that. Okay, here we go. And this defense has gotten a lot better.
Well, speaking of which, Jacoby Myers, who we all saw what he did for the Raiders last year, is now a Raider this year. So you saw that coming. You know, but what a team for him to go to. Well, look, I don't know what went on with that. That was a bonehead move by the first guy who handed it off to Jacoby Myers. That guy, what the hell was he thinking? All he had to do was drop a knee. But Jacoby gets the blame for it because he threw it right to the, you know, I mean, what a weird ending. God, that was a great game, though. That was priceless. But, yeah, I think Belichick is a little fed up with, he doesn't like mistakes like that. Boneheaded, stupid mistakes. Hey, you screw up, you screw up. Did Tom Brady screw up? Yeah, he's thrown a number of interceptions that was his fault. But it's how you screw up and how you recover from the screw up, and what is the screw up? Why did you screw it up? Well, that kind of a play to end the game, and you lose the game, that's a unforgivable kind of a screw up, right?
Right.
Yeah, yep. But, you know, I mean, I think people just don't realize that for the people that are actually playing the sports and are doing this over and over and over and over again, there's always a percentage chance of you messing up. Whatever the situation is, sometimes that's just that one time out of 1,180, but you messed up.
it's the kind of mistake that you made. You know, look, you throw an interception. Look, every quarterback is going to throw an interception. You know, you're trying to do something, and you're going to, okay, that's a mistake. But when you do something that stupid, that boneheaded, and it costs you a game, I mean, that is, you talk about a brain fart. That is brain fog. That is you not having your head in the game. If your head's not in the game,
and you know, there might be very well reason why that is, and you're not really all there. You shouldn't be on that field.
Well, if he's hurt, take a knee, for God's sakes. I don't know.
Look at Tua's last game that when he was on a roll, he was winning, and all of a sudden he threw those three picks in the second half, and they lost that game.
That was his concussion.
He was concussed.
Yeah. I'm still pissed off that they brought him, and the guy collapsed on the field. His knees buckled. When your knees buckle, that means you're done. You're out. Okay? And then he goes in there. They give him a shot of go-go juice. He comes back out. That was just – that right there was almost criminal. And the announcers were saying it too, going, what the hell is he doing? Why is he out there? And, you know, yeah, you fired.
It was just a heart-wrenching game to watch, only because the game before that had happened. So basically by halftime, it was a great game. It was unbelievable. Like, you're like, wow, look at this. And then you're like, oh, no way. Dude, I don't care what anybody says, you are not all there.
I know, but that was like in the 70s, and that was like a Super Bowl or a title game or something like that. Yeah, that would be a different story, and it would have been all
right. It was
different.
You didn't need it at this point. You didn't need it.
There was no reason to bring him out. That was
There was no reason, Skeet. And you know, we watched old school NFL football. We can honestly say between the three of us that we know what hard hits were. You want to talk about hard hits? You know, I mean, like Ronnie Lights, and we don't have to get into anything past that.
Hey, look.
Yeah, no, you don't have to be a tough guy. You knew he was not all there. Nowhere close.
Yeah. And I don't know.
So I know they're supposed to have all these other protocols, like for player safety, but seriously, you have to know a dude is slightly concussed, even slightly. But I guess he's such a big, tough dude that you never know because he answers it probably the same way, and the coach is like, "You're fine," you know.
Yeah.
But I would have said Dolphins head coach, by the second interception, I would have definitely took him out of the game and made sure that he went back into figuring out what's going on. Because him even out there for that third interception, I believe, just ridiculous.
Well, here's the problem with a concussion. A concussion doesn't heal just in a couple of days. And because you're feeling better doesn't mean that your concussion is better. That is, you know, and if you go back out there too early, you know, you're not showing any symptoms or anything, but your brain is still swollen. And
well,
one wrong hit.
Can we, I mean, I know I'm not a doctor or a scientist, but when we really break down what a concussion is, just in real simple terms, of what happens, of why you have a concussion, is technically your brain has now got rattled and moved within your skull.
Right. Bruising. Yeah.
Just breaking down to basics. Think about that. Your brain has now moved within your skull. It's not supposed to move.
That's why when you see these guys, when their hands go up and they clench their fists, and sometimes their legs will come up too, that's their brain losing contact with their body. Get paralyzed kind of area.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
You don't screw with the squash. Let's put it, you know. And
no.
Again, no reason to bring him into that game.
And what's worse is when you are playing concussed, even if it's not a full concussion, it's still a partial, that the second one, the third one, like it gets worse, like exponentially faster, like because your brain's now loose. It's not used to being loose. Now all of a sudden, it's really loose. It's jarred, and then you're getting hit again, and you have no idea where you're really at.
Well, see, it also has effects years down the road. Here's another
mm-hmm.
problem, and that's why people that have concussions early in life become very violent later in life. And a lot of these ex-football players, hate to say it, but have become extremely violent. Look at Kirby Puckett. He became violent after he got smacked in the eye with that. That did a lot of damage to his head, man. That did a lot more damage than, you know, than what people thought, and it screwed his head. And a lot of these guys, you know, with these concussions you get at an early age, it'll come back and haunt you. You know,
well,
when you're in your 40s.
I think a lot of times people don't realize when you see certain sports, you have to say precautionary-wise, why should I not play this sport because it's that dangerous? Hockey pucks, you see that thing flying at 120 miles per hour and hits you in the wrong spot? It's not a pretty picture. Baseball, someone hits it, crunches it, or throws it at you. good luck with that. You know, they had to look at a lot of these different things and longevity in sports. Man,
yeah,
you can get
also cross the
hurt
get
in one game, one play.
No, all it takes is that one play. I mean, look at Bo Jackson. It really wasn't that big of a hit. I mean, it was a big hit, but it hit him just right, and it broke his hip. He was done.
But he could still play baseball.
Yeah, but he wasn't really, you know.
Dude, Bo Jackson, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer in both, but he should be. He was a great baseball player and a great football player. Period.
No, I mean, well, look at what's his name, Jackie Robinson. He was, I think, wasn't he in the Olympics too? He was like a track and field. He was, I think, he played basketball or football or something. He played a bunch of other sports too. Yeah, there's just some guys that are just can play in.
Oh no, but Bo Jackson was the most unbelievable specimen.
What a sweet swing. It's just,
I believe off the top of my head, in baseball, he was a 40 home run hitter and a 40 stolen base. And in football, I mean, what do you average, like, per run? Like 5.3, 5.5? It's something crazy.
Yeah, I thought
5.7.
It was like 4.9 or something. It was something like that. It was ridiculous number. Well, he wasn't that bad of an outfielder either. And his legs were huge. And for him to be able to run as fast as he could. And, I mean, he was.
No, and if anybody ever watched any of his games live, in baseball, there's nothing like Bo striking out. I hate to say that. Well, greatly dislike, because if he got mad enough, he'd break that bat. Like, that bat was done. He ain't using that bat again. And you're like, he just broke his bat before he got to the dugout. Over his helmet, over his knee. He was that big and strong.
No
baseball player was like that.
Bo Jackson's still a big guy. No, I mean, but these concussions, Tua, he may still be really injured, you know, this year. And, you know, I think you're going to have to, keep a lookout for the guy.
Well, let that Viper, what do you think about Tua?
I think he's got one more shot before another unfortunate concussion might end his career. So I think it's really on tenuous ground right now. You can only take so many shots like that, and then you're talking about risking severe long-term injury that goes well beyond your playing career. And I just think that with the research we've got today, with the results of several NFL players in years past and what has occurred and the result of these concussions, I don't know there's an athlete today that is going to, you know, basically play with that kind of feature. I really don't see them doing it. I think he's got one more shot. I think if he gets knocked out of the game on concussion protocol for anything in the near future, I think he's got to call it a career.
Well, do you think that's why Mike White's there right now? And on top of it, just giving inside information on the Jets, on the NFC East?
I mean, I don't think it's inside information. I mean, if anyone's worried about that, they would never trade a player. But at the end of the day,
Well, the Steelers are famous for ripping off Patriots because they used to meet them in the AFC Championship just so they used to get their playbook. I'm just saying, dude, as a Steelers fan, I know how this works.
Well, Miami did themselves. I think, yeah, they signed on his last year of his contract, which I think is the next year. But and they pretty much had to do it because they've been invested in him. And they can't
right.
be jerks and, you know, release
well,
him. So,
when we've seen him play well.
Look, I know. They got Mike White. They know that eventually, because if he's not concussed, I mean, Tua came into the league. He was injured his senior year. And he was
yeah,
drafted.
that was a hip injury, though, yeah.
Yeah. So he's had injury after injury after, even if it's not a concussion, he's going to get injured something. His hip, his arm, his leg, his ankle, his something. Something's going to get broken. And, you know, and so you know Mike White's going to go in there. And if he can learn their system, look, Miami Dolphins are not that bad of a team. You got to take them very seriously. I know their record was a little bit different, but that was because of other problems. But you got a healthy Miami Dolphin team, and oof.
Well, no, and the Beef were projected to be the Super Bowl favorites going into last year. You still got New England and all of that weirdness. And now you got the Jets, maybe with Aaron Rodgers. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I would not want to be playing in that. Well, look, I think right now the weak link in that division is obviously you got to give it to New England. But
yeah, you
if
do.
New England does clean house and they just re-signed the quarterback, they re-signed a bunch of other guys, you can't count them out. Even though their last 3 years have been not much, but you still can't go into a season and say they're nothing. You cannot count that team out until they go out.
No, so now you have to say four teams are probably realistically playoff teams, but now that they're playing
Absolutely.
Each other two times each, they might naturally knock themselves out of the playoffs because these extra losses, especially when you got a Chargers that have been playing very well, you know, other teams in the AFC. Well, you just don't know. Like,
well,
that one extra loss
that,
against the other team.
I think
everybody goes 3-3.
You know, they play each other twice. I think we're going to see a lot of splits. I don't see we're going to see a lot of sweeps.
That's what I'm thinking. So now you go 3-3. And now those extra losses, even if you're a good team, the AFC, you got to have a good record to get to the playoffs. NFC, not so much.
Yeah. Well, I think the Bengals are going to pretty easily, I wouldn't say easily, but they should take that division. Kansas City obviously is going to take that division. And I think Jacksonville, I think they're going to take it again. And hey, look out for that team, man. You know,
that's
I mean,
the
they
team
make
that everybody forgets about. Everybody forgets about them. They don't even want to talk about them. And that is a team that is just building. And this is a really rebuild. They're going to be in the AFC Championship in the next 2 years somehow. Somehow they will be.
Here's what
I'm not calling them
scary.
In the Super Bowl. I'm just saying they'll get there.
Right, but here's what makes them scary. They're young, they're dumb, and they are hungry. And
they're full of wrong.
They don't really, you know, and look, they're out. They come out, and they're playing backyard football. They play as a team. They win together, and then when they lose, they lose together.
And whatever anybody says about the young quarterbacks of today, with Trevor Lawrence, when they lost that football game, and it was close, they fought hard, He was the first guy in the tunnel to make sure that he high-fived every one of his teammates. You can't even teach that leadership nowadays. You can't. That guy's a winner.
Hey, I had doubts with that guy, but he switched me his rookie year. I thought
no, because he looks like Fabio. You're like, you want to root against him, you know?
Yeah, but this kid is.
Yeah, that was Urban Meyer. That was Urban Meyer, though. That wasn't him.
Right, right.
Well, no, and you know what? I think the owner, at a certain point, and then Urban Meyer kind of wrote his own fate. We won't talk about his last moment, but he could already see the potential in this kid, and now this coach that was supposed to be this and that, and he's like, I got my money on the potential on the kid, and he's not doing the right job with that kid, and this dude just did what? Caught on camera? Yeah, we got to cut ties. Ever since then, he's T-Law, dude. He's T-Law.
Well, now they're going to be pretty tough. And look, if they are going to improve for what they did last year, they're going to have to make it to the title game. You know what I mean? They're going to have to make it.
They were the closest team that could have beat Kansas City besides Philly.
Exactly.
And if that guy would have caught that 60-yard pass on the in the air, 60 yards in the air, accurate pass, on the run, in your numbers, in your hands, then they
can't
beat
blame Lawrence for that one. Well, Kansas City lucked out, and to a certain degree, Philadelphia, but Philadelphia just was one of those teams that just wasn't losing. And now next year, this coming year, I see Philadelphia being competitive, but I don't see them making it to no Super Bowl. But San Francisco.
Oh, they've already lost so many of their defenders, I think, already. Well, like, what is it, 7 right now?
I don't know, but. Again, if San Francisco is healthy, that team is going to be really, really scary. But that's the key thing. They got to stay healthy. And when one goes down, here's the thing about San Francisco. They don't get just one injury. No, they get one injury, everybody has to get injured. It's like an epidemic. Virus.
The scary thing about the San Francisco 49ers is about 5 years ago when they went 7-9, I think, and they had, I don't even know how many injuries back then. And slowly but surely since then to what they've done, and they still have the same amount of injuries. That is an organization that's still built for another 5 years. It is unbelievable.
That's a great team, man.
It is, and they're a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even believe it. Like, you're like, that is football right there.
Hey, Purdy really showed me something. Comes out, he couldn't throw. Their backup is injured, so he's got to come back. He's got to play completely injured because they got nobody. He can't throw the ball, but he's still out there. He could have pushed out and said, no, I don't want to hurt my arm. No, I'm going out there, coach. Absolutely. Give me the ball. Let's see if we can do something. You know? You got to love guys like that.
It's unbelievable. And it's so weird that they're just one quarterback away. And I know he is now re-retired. He's originally from the Bay Area, this and that. And don't tell me this story doesn't get weirder than if Tom Brady somehow plays for the 49ers this year and wins the Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
Actually, you know what? That would not be that bad of a fit. Viper, what do you think? Would that be a good fit?
I don't see why not. I sounds like a good fit to me.
I mean, if he did come out, I mean, what the hell? One more year with San Francisco.
No, and he does like weird things. No, he does weird things, even negotiating, because his parents don't live that far away. Like, they got, like, a suite themselves. Like, he negotiates these weird things in his contract, not even about money, you know. And then he's like, yeah, I'll have us win the Super Bowl this year. You guys work on your quarterback situation, figure it out. Let Purdy get his Tommy John's or whatever. And then Purdy will take over.
Still Trey Lance.
Oh, Trey Lance. That guy, I mean.
They're still
look,
stuck on Trey Lance.
Hope on Trey Lance because Trey Lance was totally tradable, this and that, and no one even sniffed at it. So. He is gone and bypassed. Like, they're just figuring out how to get rid of Trey Lance.
Well, what if Lance is not injured, he's not playing very good. And that was their first round draft pick, and I remember that, and I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. He came up with him, Zach Wilson, and I think it was Trevor Lawrence, those three came up. And I didn't think any of them. I really did not think Lawrence was going to do anything.
Oh, no. I knew with T-Law, I was like, you got to grab him. He's like a Peyton Manning. It's like in Dumb and Dumber when they open up the briefcase and then they realize there's like the whatever IOU for $800,000 for the Ferrari or Lamborghini. They're like, you want to keep that one. That one's a good one.
Hey, look, he's a surfer dude, and he's just out having fun. And look, when your team is having fun, you're winning, and it's contagious. And no, I mean, Jaguars, I mean, potentially, if they're going to improve, again, like I said, to improve, they got to go to the title game. And I don't think it's really that far out of possibility. I mean,
well, and I think Viper will probably agree with this as a coach, but I think as a player, whatever levels that you actually play to in your entire life, and you always excel and win, and you max out with the best. Trevor Lawrence's career before the NFL, he couldn't have did any better, hypothetically. So now you're in the NFL. You might be that person still. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, I mean, look, you do have to get over now or soon to be Rodgers and the Jets. You still got Cincinnati. So we got Kansas City. Now the Chargers, we don't know what they're going to do. They're still a pretty good team, but God only knows what they're going to do.
I would say, like, Justin Herbert, to me, is one of those special quarterbacks. And if he's not my organization, like, if you're a Chargers fan right now and Justin Herbert stays there for 15 years and can play for 15 years, you want that right now today. You do. I would if I was a Chargers fan.
Yeah, but he's just going to be another one of those that you're a great, great player. You love him. No rings on his finger. He's got to get the hell out of here.
And here's the beautiful thing about that. The Chargers are used to that. Dan Fouts and Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, Fouts.
I'm talking
Rivers,
about the same amount of time. Yep. They'll love you forever. Doesn't matter.
I'd love to see him in Seattle. I love Herbert. I think Herbert's, you know, how could you not love
Herbert? He really could be one of the best quarterbacks.
Well, you know, he keeps his nose clean. He goes out. He's a workhorse. You know, he's smart. But the Chargers just have, I don't know, they got a jinx. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, if you really talk about two great quarterbacks that have played for at least probably somewhere around 15 years, and I know Philip Rivers was longer no matter what, but Dan Fouts and Philip Rivers in that organization, yeah, they got to get to the playoffs. You know, they might have won some playoff games. Might have got close. And maybe got lucky every once in a while for a Super Bowl, but, you know, they just weren't that guy.
So these days I call it the Marty Schottenheimer curse because they never should have let him go. They were close to a Super Bowl, and they fire Marty Schottenheimer who got them that close. That makes no sense. And they haven't been close since. They haven't been that close since.
Well, hey, look what happened with Gruden with the Raiders. You know, then the next year they have the Gruden Bowl. What the hell was that all about?
No, as a Raiders fan, I knew. Like, and Tampa Bay was a wild card that year, and they shouldn't even got in as a wild card. And I said, oh, my goodness, watch them represent the whole happened thing, and then all of a sudden, there's the only person to defeat Bill Callahan because he never changed Gruden's playbook.
Well, look, the Raiders should have gone to the Super Bowl. That Tuck rule crap with New England. That was New England's first year they went to the Super Bowl. And look, no, the Raiders should have won that.
Oh, right. And then what about the 1 year that we played against the Baltimore Ravens and Saragusa just landed on Gannon Platinum and he couldn't come back until late in the third quarter and he was effed up. He was concussed. Yeah. No, I know. I remember some rigged years. NFL script they talk about.
Well, you know, and I didn't really want to spend a lot of time on it, but I mean, that is really starting to heat up, and I have seen some evidence. And who's the guy they were talking about when Joe Namath won the Super Bowl? First of all, Johnny Unitas wasn't playing. He was injured for most of the year. And the owner of the Colts actually put money on the Jets, and look, they were told, you know, and now whether it's a script or not, I don't know. I don't really want to, I don't want to know. I hope it's not, but I don't want to know because I just like watching the games thinking that they are.
Well, Steve, you and I know that when people talk about history, people only remember lies a lot of the time because they're so fabricated. You know, the Georgia Peach is a person that has been in prison, basically.
Yeah, Ty Cobb, for example, that's all they believe is the lies. They have no idea.
Right, yeah, so I can't, you know, put any stock really into that stuff. You know, like, you don't want to believe it, but you know what? Is sports just a form of entertainment? You know, is it entertainment?
Yeah, you know, it's like wrestling. I mean, there was a professional wrestler that I went to school with his daughter. I still got her on Facebook. And they had the fly to Marge from us. And we knew wrestling, you know, you can't get your head against a steel turnbuckle pole and then get racked across the back of the head with a steel chair and get up and win the match if there isn't some kind of, you know, what the hell you're doing. But I just don't like, especially what I hate is when referees are deciding the game. That irritates me, and I know it irritates coaches. And I'm
And that's the worst. And now that you mentioned a wrestling moment, within the old WWF, Andre the Giant had never lost the game, and the guy was humongous. I saw him in real life.
I've seen him. Yeah.
Guinness Book of World Records for drinking the most beers in one day.
Yeah, I know those guys. Rowdy Piper, Jimmy Snuka.
And Hulk Hogan is a big dude. He is a big dude. And back in those days, he was definitely roided out, you know. And they were like, you're going to beat Andre the Giant in WrestleMania number 3, I think. Andre agreed to it, and Hulk Hogan knew right away. Oh, no. He agreed to that.
Huh.
And sure enough, it got, you know, it was scripted. And then all of a sudden, Andre did a couple things. And he physically hurt Hulk Hogan gently. And then Hulk, when it got close to his ear so no one could hear and this and that, he's like, what the F, dude? And Andre was like, oh, you didn't think I'd just let you beat me easy?
No,
it was like, uh-oh. And he said Andre did another 2, 3, 5 things against him. Like, after that match, and he had to lift up Andre and drop him on top of it. It was horrible.
Well, Andre,
he said he didn't even know he could do it, dude. He didn't
know
if his knees were going to buckle.
Yeah, he was over 400 pounds. I think it was 465. I mean, that was a big guy. I mean, it was like 7 foot. Well, we were kids. We'd see him at the, you know, Portland Wrestling. I knew we knew them all.
Yeah, I would say Andre was anywhere from 7'2 to 7'4.
Yeah, and, you know, we knew them all. And I went to school with Dutch Savage, his daughter, who wrestled with Jimmy Snuka and, of course, Rowdy Piper and, and we knew them all down at the marsh. We'd see them right there. We'd talk to them, and, you know, we knew them all. But, you know,
oh, yeah,
no,
it used to be really big back then, wasn't it?
I know, but
you saw the best of the best wrestling. You really did, dude. It's unbelievable what you saw.
The wrestling was completely different. WWF and WWE, that was horrible. It was all trash talking and costumes. And then to do flips, well, Portland Wrestling, you had blood every night. And, of course, you know, it doesn't take much. You just cut up there with a razor on the top of your head.
Right, yeah.
And all you got to do is get in the match. It's smack yourself, and then you bleed. And people wanted the blood. Well, WWF and WWE, they don't show the blood. So when we were kids, we'd watch it either on TV or down in the Portland Sports Arena, and you get to see the blood. And that's what's missing in wrestling is the blood. I hate to sound like a, you know, an old Roman here, but, I mean, look, people are still saturated with blood. Human beings are, for whatever reason. And there's
maybe you're
infatuated
with Andromedine.
I like to see blood in the sports. I like to see a football player with blood dripping down his face. I know that guy's been playing. You know, the guy that doesn't have any, not even any dirt on his uniform, that guy wasn't playing. He didn't play the game. What do you do? You know?
Oh, dude, there's nothing better than not playing a game. And in the first two plays, you already got dirt stains somewhere.
Well, hey, look, here's one thing about Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter always had a dirty uniform. He would make sure that he would find a way to get dirty. You never saw Derek Jeter with a clean uniform. You see a baseball player with a clean uniform, that guy's on the bench. Or he's not doing
it. Oh, no. And you saw my lifetime starting lineup in baseball. Best shortstop ever that I saw, personally. For everything. Hitting, defense, attitude, leadership, championship rings.
you can only say so much, man. He's got, what, 3,400 hits? I think it's something like 3,400. That's a lot of hits.
No, and the really cool thing, things always work out weird in my life, and I've never explained it, but I end up showing up at one of Derek Jeter's last games playing as a high school player on accident. And I was out there, and I was like, oh, this is the guy everyone's talking about, Derek Jeter at Kalamazoo Central.
Yeah, he's a Michigan boy.
Here I am right at their ball field for whatever reason. Okay, I'll go watch it. The guy won the game by himself. People don't realize Derek Jeter played shortstop and pitcher for his team. And I think he pitched that day. And then they won 2-0. And he hit a 2-run home run. And I,
well, he did get a grand slam. I think only once. I remember when he got it, I was watching the game, and they were talking about, you know, Derek Jeter's never had a grand slam, and he's talked about it, and then he just jacks one. But you know, and like Cal Ripken. His last game, the All-Star game, I think it was, he jacked a home run.
Oh, no. And then I just posted a video the other day of the first old-time baseball Hall of Fame game that they did for the All-Star game as a break, as a sort of thing. And I think it was 1975. And Appling hits a home run at 75 years old off of Warren Spahn. That's awesome.
Hey, now, you got them old-timers that can still get it done. You have to tip your hat. I love that. I think that's just absolutely great.
And oh, no, and you know at this point, Warren Spahn was 72 or something like that himself. He's just happy to throw over the plate. He's happy to be on the field again. That Appling even hit a home run at their ages. He was throwing some meatballs, you know? Why not?
Yeah, I'm trying to see what we got anymore.
Gentlemen, we have another number one seed just fell to Arkansas by one.
Wow.
That's what I was just looking up.
Another number one seed bites the dust first weekend.
So two of them are gone.
And notably, Bill Self was not on the sideline with a health condition, a heart condition, so he did not coach in back-to-back games.
Let's see, live bracket. So who did you pick,
I did not have Kansas going very far. So this doesn't devastate my bracket, but.
No, who did you pick to take it all?
I went with Alabama. I thought they had the most favorable bracket of all of them.
Alabama. Oh, yep. Arkansas number 8 beats number 1 Kansas 72-71. That would have been a good game, I imagine.
Yeah, half the starting lineup for Arkansas was fouled out in the last 2 minutes.
Well, Penn State plays Texas. Penn State's number 10. Texas is number 2. They play tonight at 8 on CBS. Right now, Houston is beating Auburn 27-24. Alabama, your Alabama plays Maryland tonight at 9:40 Eastern time. That's pretty damn late, man. Wow. So San Diego State is in. They beat Furman. So we'll find out. Then we got a slew of games tomorrow. Houston is beating Missouri 56-39. And Missouri is number 7, and Princeton is number 15. So this must be the year of the underdog. Right now, if I'm wish I could put in some money, I'd take somebody that isn't supposed to win it. Who knows? Well, you're right, though, Seth. Once you get to the Sweet 16, then things start to.
No, I've seen it before in this tournament with the brackets and everything before they even had the extra teams before it got to the final, whatever, 64 or whatever. Man, a lot of teams didn't even belong there. It was easy to pick. You couldn't even watch any NCAA basketball, and you could pick the number ones, the twos, the threes, and the fours, and you'd probably be more perfect at the end. But I've also seen the exact opposite. And this year is a nice collage. So we're going to get about 50-50, and we'll see how it ends up.
Well, these next rounds will be the Sweet 16. Tennessee is in. Arkansas is in. San Diego State is in. So a few more games. So after this weekend, yeah, things are really gonna heat up. But no, I'm not real big of a basketball fan, but when I was in high school, you know, watching the games, okay. Watching March Madness, yeah, I can watch it. It's different. Pro basketball, I don't know.
No, Ski, you have no idea. For people that have ever played basketball, they are in really great physical shape. They do things that you can't believe 6-7 days a week. And you're always on limited call, like you have to play another game. You're seeing also players that they only have to do 1 year of eligibility in college to go now to the pros. They just changed that recently. Well, recently to me, probably 10 years ago. But Kobe Bryant and like LeBron James went straight from high school to the pros, to the NBA. And when they went to the NBA as pros, they were the best of the best, moment one, the day they walked on that court. So in college, they just now make you do this 1 year. But these other players now, they go to these G leagues, or they go to Europe or Australia. So that 1 year, they're just going to get paid, and then they go to the NBA. So it's a weird whole thing when it comes to it. But March Madness is the best pure basketball out there on the market. You I can't believe it. I love this time of year. It's the best basketball to watch, if you're going to watch basketball at all.
No, well, it's exciting, but the pros is different. College is, you know, college anything. College football is great to watch because these guys are playing, it's different. You know, they're playing with a different mindset, a different heart set. They're playing differently than the pros. So you're seeing more raw, you know, sometimes. But, no, it's great competition. It's great fun. And the games aren't that long, so you can sit there and watch these games. Like tomorrow, I'm going to be probably glued to the TV all day, you know, just watching it. So should be a lot of fun. My eyes are burning. But after this, I know Viper doesn't like baseball, but baseball is coming up. I mean, I'm getting done. I mean, the bases now, and then they got the guy on second base during extra innings, and it's, I don't want to be bitching about him anymore. I'm done, but. Well, the more you bitch about it, it's not going to solve anything. But it just breaks my heart to watch sports go down when there's no reason to go down. There's no reason to change. I don't mind change, but don't change for no reason. And keep the game.
Right.
Just play the damn game.
Well, you sound like a Detroit Lions fan because when you got one playoff win in the Super Bowl era, then you're happy. It's fine. It was 1991, and it took Barry Sanders to break that curse. But one is pretty good, right? One. Oh, since Super Bowl era? Do the math.
I know, but I'm not.
Do the
math.
I'm not
putting the Lions in
do
the
it.
Super Bowl.
Do it right now.
Well, I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to put it down right now. The Lions win one playoff game this year. They break through that hump. They win one game, one playoff game this year.
Well, and I don't like to talk about this team anymore. I don't like to talk about this team anymore. But unfortunately, you know what? This team has done so many different things in the last 2 years that I haven't seen done ever in this organization, let alone 1 year. But it's 2 years in a row. I think they're really doing something different. It's something bizarre. I am not a Detroit Lions fan anymore anyways. I gave them up. It was good. It was therapeutic. But my goodness, you might get yourself the NFC North. You are the odds-on favorite in Vegas right now. We just said that I know that. And the other teams are now 3-1. But, I mean, with Minnesota right now, like, why are they even doing that? That's stupid. Like, they should be really still the favorite. But, wow, what is going on? And some of the players that they have are amazing. And I just think sometimes in team chemistry, Jamal Williams, he ended up being too good. Otherwise, he'd be on that team still this year, and now he's getting paid by the Saints. There's nothing you can
do.
Look,
if Detroit gets into the playoffs, either by winning the division or a wild card, if they play anybody in the NFC South, that's where they're going to get their one playoff win. But if they play the East or the West, it'd be a different story.
No, dude. You're not looking at it the same way that other people in this country are. No, it's Detroit fans, and I gave them up. I'm just letting you know. The only way we're going to get another playoff win is we have to host a home game. You have to host it at home. If you don't, you're not getting that first playoff win. No, we don't. We only have one in the history.
No, I know. But if they play anybody in the South, then they got a chance to. They got a much better chance of winning that one playoff game.
It'll probably come against Derek Carr with the Saints. And now all of a sudden they're a booyah team and they're in the NFC Championship. They are.
Look, the Saints.
Derek Carr.
Look, that whole division. Tampa Bay was 8-9, and everyone else was 7-10. That's pretty much where the division's going to be. They're all going to be 7-10 and 8-9. That's all that division is going to be again. Derek Carr coming over to New Orleans. Big whoop.
You never. Cleaned a chimney sweep in London as a 9-year-old kid getting dropped down by a rope.
Jeez. Nah. Well, I mean, look, Minnesota is one of those teams that has a really good year, and then they have a crappy year. Then they have a good year, and then a crappy year. So next year.
So everybody's just saying that Kirk Cousins is still there. The Minnesota Vikings aren't going to be a team. They're going to be a team. And what happened with Delvin Cook? Did he go somewhere? Viper?
I don't believe so. Just Adam Thielen was released.
So they still got Delvin Cook.
And Jefferson.
Yeah. So, in all honesty, you have one of the best running backs and the best wide receivers, even if you're a mediocre quarterback. Yeah.
Well, Kirk Cousins is not committed past 2023, so this will be his last year in Minnesota.
Unless they re-sign him,
Oh, no, and Kirk Cousins came from the Washington, we can't name team, I'll call him football team, I don't want to call him Cobra Commanders, but I will. He can't win anything in the postseason, dude, ever. This is Kirk Cousins.
Here's the thing.
He's that guy that gets you there, and then he can't win it. He just can't.
Right, but it'll be his 13th year this year coming up. So after this, I mean, you're going to have to go to a team that just needs a stopgap for a couple of years. And so if Kirk Cousins wants to make a name for himself and wants to get another contract somewhere, he's going to have to win it all. Can the Vikings do it? Well, I mean, I don't know. They got a pretty big monkey on their back, I'll tell you that. I mean, Fran Tarkenton couldn't get it done. I mean, it just doesn't.
But my dad, when he was growing up, he did say the best quarterback he ever saw that ever played the game of NFL as a quarterback at his time when he was living was Fran Tarkenton.
Well, I just got a cue in here. We got less than 30 seconds before they cut us off. I do want to thank everybody that was listening tonight and those in the chat room and those that do listen to us in archive. And we are building, and we're only going to get stronger. We're going to get a lot more people. It's just going to take a little while to get people to notice this. But once they start, and it's going to pick up. So in any event, thank you very much, Viper. Thank you very much, Seth, my good friend. And we got about less than 10 seconds, and they're going to cut us off. So goodbye, everybody, and we'll see you next week, Saturday night at 6 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.
Adios. You feel that?